I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
I'm Matt Johnson.
You're listening to Jeff Kaplan's Afternoon News on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Good afternoon, 3:30 at KSL. Jeff Kaplan here, 33 and cloudy in Salt Lake City. KSL's top story, you look outside, you see this haze. It's not fog, that's pollution. And it's going to thicken until we see a change in the weather. KSL News Radio's Amy Kobabe reports.
It's cold and hazy across the Wasatch Front today. Looking at the air quality map, it's all yellow and orange dots, meaning we're in the moderate to unhealthy for sensitive groups zone. KSL meteorologists predicted this would happen with no big storms in the last few days to clean out the air.
It is inversion season, and our next storm is forecast to move in Saturday and Sunday. Sunday, maybe 1 to 2 inches. A new study suggests one major contributor to our wintertime pollution is over on the other side of the lake.
Researchers with the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration say the U.S. magnesium refinery on the west side of the Great Salt Lake at times can produce anywhere between 10 to 25% of the PM2.5 pollution we see during winter inversions. PM2.5 is air pollution that's been linked to heart and lung problems.
It was surprising to us how much this one facility was contributing.
Carrie Womack is a research scientist and lead author in the study. She says they found large amounts of chlorine and bromine from the refinery, both of which accelerate the buildup of PM2.5. While the refinery is far from the only pollution source, Womack says they want to look further into what they first found in 2017.
We're going to try and understand the full role of these emissions.
Adam Small, KSL News Radio.
We're expecting a new draft of the gondola proposal for Little Cottonwood Canyon this afternoon. It should detail how it would be used by Salt Lake County and transportation planners. The Wasatch Front Regional Council is meeting right now. Brad Rutledge with the Wasatch Backcountry Alliance opposes the gondola. He says UDOT still hasn't released their final plans.
You know, it makes no sense for the WFTC today to introduce into their regional transit plan something that's not finalized by UDOT. And so just logically, it makes no sense. They should be waiting for the final recommendations before they introduce it into their regional transit plan.
UDOT says they're still reviewing 13,000 public comments they've received about the gondola during the public comment period. The Taylorsville high lockdown ended about an hour ago. After some anxious moments following reports of a shooting in the school's parking lot, Granite School District spokesman Ben Horsley was on site, and he praised the response of police and school administrators to this incident.
I'm here in the building. Police are doing an amazing job of keeping our campus secure, and all students have been accounted for. I want to be clear, there are no injuries. The protocol worked as it was intended to, and our students and faculty are safe, and we're so very grateful for that. As always, very appreciative of the support provided to our parents as we work to keep our students safe.
Horsley says two nearby elementary schools came out of lockdown and students were released. We still don't have full details yet about the incident that led to the lockdowns. Two U.S. senators are vowing to block any of President Biden's nominees. Maria Chaleos is live at the KSL National News Desk.
Jeff, Senator Lindsey Graham today echoing the threat made by one of his colleagues yesterday. The two are demanding that the Justice Department show members of the Senate Intelligence Committee what classified documents were found in the possession of both President Biden and former President Trump.
Nobody's asking to impede the special counsel.
But the Intelligence Committee needs to know what kind of information we're dealing with.
Democrats call the move extreme and unnecessary. The showdown over the debt ceiling continues to loom over Capitol Hill. Senator Mitt Romney telling reporters today that while this debt ceiling should be a priority for lawmakers, he believes that this could be a unique opportunity for the two sides to come together.
This is something which is unacceptable, will not happen, cannot happen. But let's use this time period as an opportunity to restrain some of our spending.
The Treasury Department warns if the debt ceiling isn't raised, it could send the economy into a tailspin. President Biden, meantime, celebrating the slightly better than expected GDP report. The report shows the U.S. economy grew by nearly 3%. However, the president warning union workers in Springfield, Virginia this afternoon that so-called MAGA Republicans in the House are working to undermine his economic agenda.
This ain't your father's Republican Party. This is a different breed of cat, as they say.
The president says House Republicans are pushing to impose a 30% national sales tax. And we do have a bit of breaking news here, Jeff. The Israeli army is confirming that two rockets fired from Gaza have been intercepted by the Iron Dome. Live from the KSL National News Desk, I'm Maria Chaleos, KSL News Radio.
A Utah university has found a practical application for 3D printing.
Weber State University's Miller Advanced Research and Solutions Center, which opened just last August, is using 3D printing to support research for Utah's aerospace industry.
I'm working with other scientists at other universities, at BYU and USU, potentially coming up with ideas on how to better explore this technology.
The Impossible Objects printer uses carbon fiber filament to make strong and durable products, including replacement aircraft parts. Alexandria Bonilla, KSL News Radio.
KSL News Time, 3:36. First look traffic. Len Thomas from the Traffic Center. What's going on?
We're looking at this northbound collector ramp, Jeff, at 80th South. That has cleared the vehicle fire out of the way, but you have southbound slowing Murray down to Midvale and out on the 201, little slowing developing from the West Belt out to Bangor. And on the Mountain View Corridor, it starts that little stretch of slowing every day from Parkway Boulevard down to 3500 South. Len Thomas from the KSL Traffic Center.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.